Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chip Simmons is at that same conference that Bob Johnson's at, along with a lot of the senior staff from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, but still taking time out to call in, so I super appreciate that. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. We've had several, as you know, the sort of the headline news was that we had several shootings over the last several days. I sometimes hate to be the, like, hey, let's go over all of the big crime, but I mean, that's the stuff that people want to know about because it's, you know, it is the big scary stuff. But one that took place over at Old Coryfield Road, I think, was the first one.
Yeah, that's the one that guy got in an argument with his girlfriend and ended up shooting her in the face, and then he fled to an area nearby and barricaded himself. After we'd called a SWAT team, and he wisely did. So, yeah, we ended up charging him with attempted murder.
But she's recovering. Do we know anything about her status?
Yeah, my understanding is that while her injuries obviously are severe, that she is recovered and is expected to survive.
Oh, thank God. But as you and I have said, you know, as you have said so many times, you know, there's drug and gang-related violence, and then there's, you know, domestic violence, and it's very hard to defend against, protect against domestic violence because it could be, you know, anybody in any relationship, unfortunately. We also had another bizarre, I thought, incident where two roommates got into a fight over some bills and there was a shooting.
Yeah, on the 23rd, we had a shooting. Two roommates got into an argument, as you said, and one just pulled out a gun and shot the other one in the stomach. We did end up arresting the roommate. I guess you should pick your roommates a lot better, and you also should find ways to, you know, to alleviate your arguments without resorting to violence like that. But yeah, we ended up arresting the guy, and this 30-year-old male was in that being shot in the stomach, and he also is expected to survive.
Well, that's the good news. But you know, you raised children. I'm raising some boys, and you know, I assume it's true for you, but I know how many times I've had to tell my boys, leave the area, you know, go take a breath, walk around. You don't have to say anything back. You don't have to do anything back. These things escalate on their own. You have to learn to de-escalate, right?
Well, it's conflict resolution. You need to be able to have those conversations. And when one, hopefully both parties, should decide, hey, you know, this is getting out of hand. Let's cool it. And,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I don't know the particulars on this case, but unfortunately, a lot of those things are exacerbated by the fact that people are drinking or doing drugs, and you know, so that can make it more difficult to, you know, to walk away.
Yeah, decision-making capacity is not enhanced by those things. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was even a third incident. Do I remember this correct? Do I have the right? And there was even somebody who wound up killed in an incident over the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had a homicide. This one also was a homicide. And then that Sam Clowns. Sam Clowns is a small little lounge over off of Old Coryfield Road. The victim and the suspect were, again, engaged in a verbal disagreement or argument. And at that point, a guy named Michael Andrew Rodriguez pulled out a gun and shot the victim, which we don't identify the names of the victim, but shot the victim blank range because of an argument. And then he fled the scene. Our investigators did a great job of rounding him up, so he's been charged with a homicide. His name is Michael Andrew Rodriguez.
Wow. And all of these, you know, this is, I mean, I hate to talk about it this way, but, you know, a lot of times we tend to think that these, you know, shootings are related to, as I said, drugs, money, and gangs. But in this case, all three of these incidents were what you would call some form of domestic and or verbal altercation, not the typical kinds of, you know, crimes that you might think of as being gun violence, right?
That's correct. You know, we talk a lot about if you're not involved in, you know, risk behavior, again, dealing in drugs, buying, ripping off people, or some sort of a volatile domestic situation, you're less likely to be the victim of a violent crime. And these, again, they kind of fit criteria. Although, I guess a roommate's arguing, you know, may not be domestic, and so it is a little bit out of the ordinary.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it's not something that happened here, but it is a case that I just kind of, because we're talking about all these interpersonal communication and breakdowns and relationships that it reminded me of this. There was a case of a road rage incident where this guy, who's more hot of temper, and his wife had repeatedly told him not to flip basically other drivers off and not to mouth things at them. He got into some incident where he flipped somebody off and they shot her, shooting at him. And it's just, you just don't have to. You don't have to say that extra thing. You don't have to do that extra thing. You don't have to make sure they know that you know that, right? I mean, Sheriff, this is just learning how to not react is one of these key skills, right?
That's one of those things we talk to people all the time. I mean, if you, to me, the only reason you should use your horn is if you're trying to alert someone that, you know, you they might be about to hit you or they might be able to hit someone else. But people that lay on the horn and keep it up and then they get next to somebody to, you know, either give them a gesture or yell and shout at them, you don't know what that person's got. I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, what people might have with them because they may, you know, have drugs. They may be less than willing to alleviate some of the arguments. And you just don't know. That's obviously very tragic. And we tell people all the time to, it's not worth it. Count to 10. And just settle down. It's not that bad. No one hit you. Just drive on and let them go.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. That's very good advice. One of the things that I've been talking about with, I had asked Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday. I actually checked with our Director of Public Safety, Eric Gilmore, who I know you know real well, about this as well. The rumor/allegation is that there is a different kind of fentanyl on the streets now that is resistant to Narcan when people get high with it, so you can't be brought back with a Narcan from an OD. Have you heard anything about this, seen anything about this? Do you know anything?
Yeah, I've heard about it. That's what they call Trank. And it's what it is it's I think it's called xylazine. And basically, it's fentanyl mixed with this xylazine or Trank. And it's becoming more and more dangerous because xylazine is not an opioid, so it's not you can't bring someone back with Narcan. So that's why it's even more dangerous. And I did some research on it a couple of days ago, and the DEA is saying like 20% of the fentanyl that they're seeing actually has this xylazine in it. Is this type of mixture? So I think that the question is, are we seeing it in Escambia, the Northwest Florida area? I would think that the chances are pretty high that it is. You know, we're seeing it maybe not at a large scale yet, but it's certainly something that we're keeping an eye on.
Wow. Okay, so we don't have cases that we know of yet, but based on that high prevalence, according to national sources, the likelihood that it's here is, I mean, you have to kind of expect that that's the case. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah. I would say that it is likely here. And you know, it's hard to tell. You know, I guess the medical examiner, I'm assuming they can tell when they do their the autopsy, and they can figure out exactly what drugs are in the system that they might be able to tell and give us a better idea. But again, if you go by statistics, from the DEA, if 20% of their seized fentanyl has xylazine in it, I would assume that some of that in Escambia County has as well.
Wow.
Oh. As if it wasn't enough reasons not to take fentanyl. Now you add this to it. And as you mentioned, it's resistant to Narcan, so that makes it even more dangerous.
Because it's not an opioid. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Huh. Wow. Okay. Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for checking in with us. And when you're at this conference elsewhere, I'm sure we'll talk about what you learned there next week. But again, thank you for keeping us informed, sir. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.